this evening. And Lisa will be leading the presentations for the two policies. And so I think we are ready to go. Let's just let Lisa get the recorder started, and then she'll give us the cue, Bob, to get things rolling.
Okay, I've got it going.
Okay. Meeting is hereby called to order. Do we have any public attendees or public input?
I do not see any public on the in the waiting room or on the list this evening.
Okay. So I presume this is an executive session item, so we need to move into executive session?
No. No. Okay. These are just policy discussions, no executive session this evening.
Okay. So no executive. All right, so consideration for the recommendation on the adoption of the district's updated COVID-19 sick leave policy. Scott, you want to take us through that, please?
Yep, I'm going to have Lisa jump in.
Okay, Lisa?
Okay, so can you give me the shared screen, Scott? Or maybe I can just share my screen? Can you see my screen?
It's coming up, Lisa.
There okay.
You go. There you go.
So that we have a copy of the updated document. It's largely not that different than what you saw and what we discussed last week. Last Friday, we did get some clarification from Jamie and Brian that in the FMLA column number 3, we are bound to that April 1st date. We cannot make that the effective date of the policy. So that is one change and clarification that we needed to make in this policy. We are noting here in that first bullet, we are deviating slightly from the county by making this effective for our employees through May 16th. The county has picked May 1st as their date. And the reason for that difference is really due to that original executive order that Scott made on March 16th. And that executive order at that time granted employees a 60-day period in which to use the sick leave COVID or the COVID-19 sick leave. So we wanted to honor.
Question on that point. Scott, when you were putting together that internet emergency policy or directed by there, were you being advised to go out 2 months?
So I reached out to Dave Thomas following our board meeting in March. It was the next day. And at the time, the county, Tom Fisher, had released his executive order, and I asked Dave, let him know that I wanted to do the same thing. And Dave provided essentially all the language associated with that order. And the language in that paragraph B of the executive order was slightly different in the county's policy, and I was not aware of that at the time. I did not cross-check all the language. I just assumed that we were moving forward with the exact same policy that the county was. And that's what's led to this, this deviation.
Okay, thanks.
So outside of that difference, the policy is largely the same as the county's. We did make one small footnote change, just adding clarification which is detailed kind of in the FAQ, but just clarifying to employees that if they take the 80 hours that they're granted goes back to that April 1st date. So we just wanted to make that very clear to employees in that policy. the paid EMFLA, that's the same category as the 1 through 4. That difference there, we would be providing 100% through May 16th and up to 12 weeks after that at the 2/3 rate. And again, I guess it's just important to note that in that third column, that FMLA and that EMFLA, employees are entitled to those benefits for up to 12 weeks, and that can be taken intermittently. Doesn't have to be taken all at one time.
Lisa, are these policies that we're doing, they're federal policies, and there's new ones that have come out as of the...
These are all the policies I'm aware of that came out in the beginning of April. I'm not aware of anything new.
Yeah, this came out. These were adopted in the Family First Coronavirus Response Act. They were adopted on March 18th. And in terms of sick leave, this is the only thing that's out.
Along with the with the sick leave policy, we tried to incorporate some other documents for reference that U.S. Department of Labor poster, and also the 10-page frequently asked questions. We have notified our employees. I think we did that beginning of this week, that these are their rights under this new policy. And that we would be putting something together and getting, more additional detail to them as we are able to get these approval processes done. But we wanted to at least put them on notice, so we have done that. I have not received any questions, and I don't believe Scott's received any questions from our employees either at this time. And like we mentioned last week, the majority of people who have taken any leave under this policy currently, it has related to the child care component, that number 5 category. The other, time that people had originally taken some of this sick leave under the emergency executive order that Scott issued was in March. And for that time in March, that's just paid at 100%. We're not it doesn't fall under the federal policy, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
So as I understand it, when the county issued their original policy, they had a stated right to amend the policy. And for some reason, we didn't have that. Is that correct?
That's correct, Bob.
Okay.
So our language says, let me pull it up here. I've got it on.
Extend the duration.
Yeah, so that our language states that this policy shall be in place from March 16th through May 16th. It may be extended as needed by decision of the general manager in consultation with the administrative control board. There's no mention of shortening it.
Yeah, so there's no mention of amending.
Nope.
And so the fundamental issue is we're out of sync by, call it, 2 weeks. With the county.
Correct.
Yeah.
Obviously the county has a much larger employment population than we do, and so that's important to them in terms of being able to manage. Do we have any idea what we think it might cost us to extend for 2 weeks?
We do. Yeah, Lisa and I talked about that today. Lisa, do you want to run through that?
Like I mentioned, the majority of our employees now are really using the child care component. And if I used a typical week when employees are using that code, and again, we would be paying 100% during that May 1st through May 16th versus the county now being at 2/3 after the May 1st date. It's about a $2,000 exposure. We have about 80 hours total being used in that bucket right now. And that's just intermittent. It's not someone using it all at one time. That's among like 5 or 6 different employees. So the exposure there is very small. Like I said, we haven't had anybody in April so far use a COVID-related category other than childcare. There would be exposure if, and this is getting a little bit into the weeds, and I'll try to explain it the best I can. If someone were in the next week to come under one of those 1 through 4 categories, we would then be obligated to pay them at 100%. And then in the situation of the county, that would then end on May 1st. Under our policy, that would continue until May 16th. So the employees could get an additional benefit in that, say, 2-week period. If that were to happen, you know, if our complete exposure, you know, our payroll about runs about $100,000 per pay period, that's payroll and benefits. So that's, you know, total. You know, if all of our employees did that, you know, had that 1 week and then we were exposed to 2 weeks in May, that's what our exposure is. Worst case scenario. I don't see that. I think it would be very unlikely that we're going to have even 1 or 2 fall into that category. So I think our biggest exposure is in paying employees at 100% for childcare costs versus the 2/3 that the county will be moving to on May 1st.
Lisa, under the federal law, is there any possibility of federal relief to anyone that has enacted this, or is this something where the federal government has decided that they're just going to spread the pain around?
Go ahead, Jamie.
There is some money available. It is being given to the states in block grants. The states will then determine how they share that. Whether or not they share that for these costs, we don't know.
You mean for the surcharge that we have?
So for the businesses, the act itself gave businesses a tax credit for these amounts. We're governments, so we don't get a tax credit. They gave tax credits for the payroll taxes that would have to be paid. We don't get that either. It is unlikely, I will tell you, it is probably unlikely that you will get reimbursed for this expense.
Okay.
Even though there's a pot of money, it's unlikely you'll get any, and neither will the county. It's government entities. We have other pots of money that we can ask for, and probably not this.
What's the county's position that, say, on April 30th, an employee comes down and has forced quarantine or self-isolation quarantine for 14 days? I was kind of under the impression we sort of had to cover that regardless.
So what we tried to do is vary what Tom's original order was with the federal law, and take into consideration, obviously, some costs, because, you know, obviously the county's doing some major budget cutting right now, because the tax revenue is so far down. The federal law basically says after April 1st, we have to give them 80 hours. And if you're in the first few categories, you get that at 100%. If you're in the last 3 categories, you get that at 2/3. Because Tom had an order that said 100% at least through May 1st, which is when the public health order ended. It was consistent with that. So that's essentially what we used. And so if they go down sick on April 30th, for the 30th, 31st, or 1st, they'll get 100%. After that, they probably will get 2/3 for the remainder of the 2 weeks. If there happened to be in one of those categories that get 2/3. And then, like I say, and then the FMLA for all the categories except for number 5 are unpaid FMLA leave. So if they need time off, it's unpaid after that.
Is there any sense that the feds may extend that May 1 deadline?
Well, the May 1 is just us. So the April 1st was the feds. So they mandated that any time taken after April 1st, we have to count that towards their FMLA leave. we have to. So that was, and the feds also required that we keep this policy in place until December 31st, the end of this year, so that if we have a second wave in the fall, it's still in place.
Yeah. Okay.
But the thing we need to remember is if we do get a second wave, the employees don't get a second bite at the apple. If they've already used their 80 hours or used their emergency family medical leave, they do not get any additional.
Correct.
They're going to use their own time on that.
It sounds to me that our exposure is relatively small on this. We obviously do have some people using the child care benefit. That doesn't seem to be a lot of money. And presuming that, you know, we continue to have, I'll call it good luck on our employees not actually getting sick, doesn't seem like we have a great deal of exposure. So I guess my question would be, and I'll just put it bluntly, how big an issue is this with the county?
You know, Jamie and I and Brian have been sharing emails back and forth, and I'll let them chime in. I think they've been trying to look out for us as a district and our budget exposure as a result of extending it. Obviously, you know, I'm in a bit of a difficult situation. You know, I may get beat up on by the council with respect to offering this benefit, you know, that's a couple weeks richer than the county's. At the same time, you know, I don't want to pull the rug out from under our employees and say, you know, just kidding, we're really going to, you know, stop this on the first. So,
right.
You know, my feeling.
Well, also, I guess while these policies were originally drafted, there was some, maybe irrational, but some hope that schools would go back into session by May 1st, right?
Yeah.
And now that hope has been dashed. So.
I would tell you that the council is very sensitive, obviously, to budgeting and budget issues. Understanding that Mountain Regional is its own entity and has its own revenue source and its own, you know, budget. But they are tightening the belt. So I don't know how they're going to approach this. And the truth is, the orders are going to change after May 1st. They may, in fact, change next week. And, you know, it may not be applicable for some of those categories anymore after next week.
I would characterize this as an attempt to create some largesse among the Mountain Regional Water employees. I think this was an effort to recognize the essential services that are being provided for clean water and taking the abundance of caution that we didn't lose employees over something like this, that we were doing the measures that we thought were necessary to keep the water flowing.
Well, and that was Tom's consideration when he first issued his order. He wants to keep the workers. It's too expensive to try and replace them.
Right.
So, Doug, Bob, to your point, I think the exposure is minimal. Like Lisa said, really it's related to the child care portion. We think it's going to be about a total of about 80 hours where we're covering a third of employees, the average employee's wage across 80 hours. And from a budget perspective, that's something, you know, we feel as though we can absorb. We're not, our revenue sources, our revenue streams are different than the county's. We don't expect to see as large of a hit. You know, my recommendation is that we approve it at, you know, with this May 16th date. And I'll take my lumps if I get them, but I think, you know, I think I acted in the best interest of the district. I was not aware that I was offering a greater benefit. We are where we are. I think the exposure is minimal. Let's move on. That's my feeling.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. I think that probably the intangible cost of sort of reneging, if you will, might be actually larger than the tangible few thousand dollars at this point in time. And frankly, you know, at some point in time, everybody's going to have to dig into their own pocket on some of these expenses and stuff. You know, we're all going to get hit one way or the other. We just can't put out trillions of dollars of relief and not expect it to get spread around over the, in one way or another, you know. But likely the people who are encountering this are less able to absorb it than others, you know. Not that I'm a socialist.
It's pretty close, but.
Yeah, that does get close, doesn't it? Humanist. So I'd be in favor of just, I guess, asking for forgiveness from the county and continuing to have policy as we've stated it.
But we're not, so we're looking for a motion to approve the paid leave.
It would be a motion to recommend. The governing body has to adopt.
Okay, well, okay. I recommend that the edits that we have in the policy right now, particularly where we're looking at the, it's the May 16th and 17th dates in there that I think are the most critical on there. I recommend to the other board members here that we, what would you say, to approve?
We need a motion for recommendation of the policy to the county council.
Yes, it's a motion to forward a positive recommendation.
I move that we have recommendation. The board recommends that we move this policy for, we recommend it to county council for approval.
So Tim has made the motion. Do I have a second?
Yeah, I'll second that, Bob.
Seconded by Ian. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Motion passes. The recommendation passes, I guess. Okay. I have on my agenda, does anybody have any further comment on that agenda item?
No.
I have on my agenda approval of the district's face mask policy.
Yes.
Is that correct, Scott?
Yep, that's correct.
Okay.
Another recommendation to the council.
Okay.
I'll just walk through this policy with you. This is essentially the county's policy, redlined for Mountain Regional changes. We largely have stuck with what the county has. I'll just point out the few differences. We just added some language in here regarding our workspace and, you know, what a face covering might look like if you're not in a shared workspace that's at least 6 feet from the next workspace. We don't have the county exemptions, don't apply to Mountain Regional. We've removed those. And the county had some detail regarding what the fabric pattern could be or what color could be. We decided to simply say it should be of a solid color. We didn't pick a particular color. And if there was some type of pattern or symbol on it, it just needed to be approved by the general manager. We just wanted to make sure our employees were able to get some kind of face covering that didn't have, you know, some kind of offensive language on it.
Covers available to the employees? Are we giving them approved, you know, ones that would meet this criteria and encouraging to use the Mountain Regional Water issued face mask and talk about these other things in lieu of having that mask available to them?
Yeah, the issue, Tim, was just availability up front. So what we're asking is we're going to get this policy hopefully approved by the council, consistent with Summit County. This provides the guidelines for what to use in the interim. Brian Davenport is sourcing masks for the operations team and he's ordering enough that others can get one as well. I turned it over to him and said, there's a lot of different styles out there. You know, we cover tubular style. styles and some of these other styles here in the policy, you know, I said, let's ask the ops team what they're going to be comfortable in the field using, and let's go out and get some. That's the plan.
And we do...
This policy, though, that it is the policy to the greatest extent possible and based on availability, be using the Mountain Regional Water issued face cover, and in the event that they are not available, then go to these. Because I think it would apply now because they don't have them available, but once they become available, there's obviously a bunch of stuff in here about advertising products or something on the mask or something like that, or putting some college logo on it or something that's not approved.
I will tell you, Tim, that the county did purchase masks. There's a whole lot of volunteers making masks, and the county purchased a lot of them so that each employee would get at least one. But because the cloth masks cannot be reused without washing in between, they knew that the employees were probably going to want more than one. So the policy was written so that you could just, you know, the county did provide one, but you're going to probably have to have more than one that you rotate through.
And we do have, correct me if I'm wrong, Scott, but all of the operators have N95s, I believe, that we've already provided. We have surgical face masks that were obtained last week that have been provided to everybody in the organization, ops and in the office. And then I know Brian Davenport did put that order in this week. I believe the face coverings will be here by the end of the week, if not the first part of next week. And he ordered 25 of the, it's a Columbia brand, face covering, kind of that tubular style.
And thanks for that reminder, Lisa. Yeah, so Brant Judd, who's in charge of our safety program, he has been making N95s and surgical masks available to the staff, and they're available at our key locations up at the treatment plant in the office. So that's sort of an interim step. If folks have something that, you know, they've gotten on their own through volunteers or family members, that's an option. And then, like Lisa said, Tim, we're ordering, some that are available today that don't have a Mountain Regional logo because that wasn't possible in a timely manner. That's another interim step, and we may consider, do we get something for the field crews and for others that's, you know, a solid gray with a Mountain Regional logo? That's sort of the next step.
If I can jump in, the reason we had a bunch of different ones is because in talking with our public works, they felt the tubular worked better for their guys out in the field. And so that's why that was added in. And we did only provide one. Now, one thing which we can also suggest is when we send this out to our employees, we also sent to our employees the CDC guidelines of how to make a mask. And that's why we had... there's no writing on it or symbology unless it was a county logo or a departmental logo, because we don't want death heads on a mask for somebody who's representing some county. But if you want, Scott, we can get you the CDC guidelines as well in the interim, because I know right now we have, the county did give everybody one mask. We do have employees, also wearing masks that came from home or they bought them elsewhere. We just want to some guidelines to it. And if you're interested in those CDC guidelines, we can shoot them your way and you can attach those too, so.
Okay, thanks, Brian. Yeah, I actually was looking at those when I was reviewing this policy. So if I have trouble finding that again, I'll reach out to you. Thank you.
Any other comments on the policy? My sense that we're okay with the policy, that there'll be some administrative leeway as the policy is interpreted and put into action, and that's okay. So could I have a motion to approve the policy as written?
It would be a motion to forward a
positive recommendation to the county council.
So moved.
Note that Ian made the motion to approve the policy for recommendation to the county council.
Second.
That was Tim, second. All in favor? Aye.
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 Opposed? Noting no opposals. Motion for positive recommendation to the county council is approved.
Thank you guys so much.
And then the last item I have on the agenda is for general manager comments. Do you have any comments at this time other than what you've already made, Scott?
I'll just say, Bob, that the both of these policies and minor tweaks to the language of the personnel policies that was requested by the county council, all three policies will go back in front of, or will go in front of council next Wednesday, hopefully for approval. Otherwise, okay.
I presume that we don't necessarily have to have anybody present for that.
No, Lisa and I will just attend via Zoom, but no more than that's necessary.
And I think Brian and I will probably be there anyway, so.
Okay.
But otherwise, I don't have any further comment this evening.
Okay, does anybody have any other business to bring before the Administrative Control Board? If not, we stand adjourned at 6:41 by my certified wrist chronometer.
All right, thank you.